Stay on my grind, could that come first? If you get out of line, it's still is gonna get hurt. You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene. If you try me, I'ma take it
places you don't wanna go. Welcome back, it's another week back here, the Urban Sports Scene. I'm back, Will T, I'm your host for the day. Fish couldn't be with us tonight. To my right, we have Super Engineer, Waliola. To my left, we have Super Engineer. That's okay. What you do, Super Engineer. Super/assistant, best assistant coach.
In the nation.
In the nation, I'm sorry.
The head coach is right here, but you're going to mention him later, though.
Yeah. To my left, I got Ray. And across the table, I have the best head coach in Boys and Girls Club in America. I got to clean my throat.
Good.
I have the future Nigerian national team head basketball coach. What's up, Al?
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're going to lead him to a bronze medal, baby.
I'm going for silver, baby. Gold is out the picture.
Cash for gold.
Let's get started with the pregame. New Jersey Nets in their pursuit of Carmelo Anthony, or did they?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's too talented of a player to give it up. You got to go hard for it.
Now, Donnie Nelson just came out and said the same thing. They're done. They're not trading anything for him. Everybody's playing a game right now with him.
No, they actually are done. The Nets owner did apologize to the fans and to the team, stating that all this drama caused a little chaos. They're done this year, not saying they're not going to go after him during the free agency, but during this year, they're not going to sell out their team. So, yeah, they're done this year. I think the only team that might be interested in Carmelo this year is the New York Knicks. They're talking about doing a sign and trade with some other teams. But it's like three teams in play right now. But as of right now, Carmelo probably end the season with the Nuggets.
All right, next, Tiger Woods goes from number 2 to number 3 in the world golf rankings. Alex Ovechkin has a hat trick over the weekend. Is he back?
Oh, yeah, he's back. I mean, he never left. You know, they just went in terms of a different route. They've been more defensive-oriented. So he's always there, man.
And finally, Carson Palmer requests a trade, but the owner, Mike Brown, has no plans to deal him.
Oh, yeah, that's quite unfortunate. I was kind of shocked by that. Carson Palmer demanded a trade after this year, and he's saying that if he's not traded, he's going to retire. He saved his money quite well, so you might look at a retirement. He might put the letters, the paperwork with the league, and try to push it to see if he can get traded to the NFC West. He's looked at San Francisco, Seattle, Arizona. He's looking at the NFC West.
You think it's does he think he wants to leave because of Ocho Cinco?
Oh, no. He actually wants to win. He's tired of the Cincinnati organization, as well as Marvin Lewis was. If people forgot, when Marvin Lewis resigned this year, he also talked about saying he didn't sign yet because he wanted to see if the organization is going to have a winning culture. There's more into it, not just the coaching staff. It's also the organization with the weight room, with the facility that people are not talking about. So that's the issue.
Well, that's enough talk about non-playoff teams. Let's get into the NFL playoffs. Let's start off with the Bears and Packers game from this past weekend.
Well, I was surprised about the final score. I thought Green Bay was going to blow them out. I don't know how y'all feel about that.
Well, you know, I expected. We had this discussion last week, Ray, and I expected for the defense to show up, and they did. I just didn't expect the Packers defense to dominate the game that way. Shields was off the charts, man. For a dude that wasn't even drafted to play that way against them, basically, I think he was on Johnny Knox most of the game, and to come with those big picks, man. He came out of nowhere. I guess it's that you mentality.
I wasn't really shocked by it. Green Bay Packers played the Chicago Bears very well in Soldier Field. Home field advantage doesn't really mean much when these two teams play against each other. Also, the Chicago Bears really tried to eliminate them in the last game of the season. They actually really came out trying to win that game. Unfortunately, they did lose. Jay Cutler, against a defense like the Green Bay Packers, I knew he was going to have a bad game. And Aaron Rodgers, I was disappointed with his performance. He could have ended the game off in the third quarter, but he let the Bears stay in. But he did save the game with tackling Urlacher. If he wasn't, that would have been a touchdown.
Al, you brought up an interesting point about the Packers. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the offense and also the defense. Which one do y'all think should take the most credit for getting them to this point?
To this point? The defense. I give it to the defense, if you can tell. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been out a couple games this year with the concussion, and the defense have maintained. You have Raji, Clay Matthews, who's bald. They've always been consistent. I mean, Charles Woodson making plays. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has had a good season, but that defense has been consistent.
Are you talking about to this point from the beginning of the season or playoffs? Well, overall, since Rodgers been starter, go ahead, clarify for me real quick. For the playoffs? The defense has been good, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to use Wally's point from last week. The Falcons moved the ball up and down the field against that defense. Aaron Rodgers just made so many plays. And that's why the Falcons lost to the Packers.
I'm going to go with actual equal team effort. I mean, people, you can't say it's the Green Bay Packers defense. You can't say it's Aaron Rodgers' offense. It's actually a team effort. Green Bay, the first drive showed that their offense was live. But Chicago made adjustments and stopped them. And what the defense did was throughout, they slowed down Chicago. And then Chicago came back with the third-string quarterback. When he drove and scored that touchdown, the defense didn't fold up and give it back up. They continued and played strong defense. So I think it was just a joint effort, and they're actually a complete team this year.
Yeah, well, they did stop Michael Vick in the first game, which is tough to do, especially in Philly.
They stopped him? His stats were still good. They didn't stop him. They didn't stop him.
What was his stats?
I mean, he threw over 20 yards.
What were his stats?
I don't have it on me.
All right, then. How do we know if his stats were still good?
I'll look it up after the break. And
all right, that's fine. Hey, you know how we go.
Yeah, you know.
Don't laugh.
The interesting thing about that game was when Jay Cutler was in the game, even though he was injured, he took a lot of hits, he wasn't sustaining drives. But when the Bears went to their third-string quarterback, I don't even know – what's the guy's name? I don't even know the guy's name.
Haney.
He was able to sustain drives and put up 14 points on the board. What do you guys think about their third-string quarterback being able – to move the offense, to produce on offense more than their starter?
If you really look at the tape and watch the game, Green Bay defense did lack up. It wasn't really much of Haney. It was more of the Green Bay defense scaling back and saying, you know what, we got this win. They were more relaxed. They didn't pressure. They didn't really put that much pressure. And if you've seen the push that Raji, Jenkins, and Clay Matthews had, they were more relaxed. They weren't actually pushing them back into them. So I look at that and say it wasn't really the Chicago Bears defense. It was more the Green Bay Packers thing. The game was over already.
Well, now, I mean, you're talking about in terms of the Chicago's offense?
I'm in terms of Chicago offense looked good because of Green Bay's lack of of pressure.
I'll say this. I think down the stretch, a big play into that was Matt Forte balled in during the stretch of that game. I thought that it didn't matter. I think if he got enough touches in that game, they would have been all right anyway.
I got a quick question. Anybody can take it. Does Lovie Smith deserve credit for having his third-string quarterback ready? Most third-string quarterbacks wouldn't be ready, let alone second-string.
Lovie Smith deserves credit regardless. For his whole season.
No, he does not get him credit. Out. He doesn't deserve credit for having that third string quarterback ready.
I didn't think he deserves credit regardless of the whole season. This is a guy they wanted to fire, and look, he continues to get the Bears to be relevant.
Why would you Why would you give Lovie Smith credit for the third string quarterback? Lovie Smith decided to put with Collins. The only reason they took Collins up because he was injured. People are saying they thought it because he was inefficient. It wasn't that. It was because he got hurt. Okay, so it had nothing to do with really Lovie Smith. If anything, I'm gonna give credit to the offensive coordinator, Mike Marks, for getting him ready. Because Lovie Smith does nothing on the offensive side. Okay. Lovie Smith is just straight a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, answer my question.
All right. Speaking of third string quarterback, he was able to enter the game because of Jay Cutler's injury. Now, when it looked as if that Jay Cutler didn't want to play, that's what a lot of people assumed when they saw the shots at him on the sideline. Then you had the players such as Darnell Dockett, Maurice Jones-Drew. Then you have Deion Sanders. Everybody tweeting about Jake. You know I'm not up on technology.
I know. Y'all, man. I got you.
Everybody tweeting about his toughness. What do you guys think? Do you think Jay Cutler just called it in, or do you guys think that he was actually injured?
I mean, he was injured. I mean, but could he
still?
Well, excuse
me. Let me reframe that. The severity of his injury. I mean, because even Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers both came out and said that I played with a sprained MCL, I played with a sprained ACL.
We can't even compare. Like I said, toughness. That's interesting. You mentioned Phillip Rivers. That's his like his arch rival while he was in Denver. And you look at Phillip Rivers, he played with a torn ACL, which is the worst injury you can get in terms of your legs. I mean, one of the worst injuries you can get in your legs, and played with it. While, you know, Cutler, all he had was a sprained MCL. I think he could have played with that. When I heard it was a sprained MCL, which only sidelines you without surgery for a couple of weeks anyway.
A good point I heard earlier was, What quarterback injured has led their team to victory in a big game? Phillip Rivers, he played with a torn ACL, but he hurt his team in that game, really. He didn't play well at all. He couldn't move. Maybe he should have took a step back and gave his team a better chance to win. If you can name somebody, great. Or research it later, whatever. But I've never seen an injured quarterback lead their team in a big game. I've seen McNabb play against the Lions or somebody with a messed up ankle, but that doesn't count. We're talking playoffs, big game, and this is a division rival.
Well, I can't name it, but I just know that Cutler, his tolerance of pain is probably not as high as everyone else's. Could he have played? Yes, he could have, but did he want to play? No, he didn't. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
All right, well, thanks. Get that phone out. Appreciate that.
Thanks. Answer that phone.
But Alvin, to get what you were talking about, though, it's going to be quick. I'm going to make it real quick. I don't agree with that point. I think that when you said Phillip Rivers, he was the best option. Billy Voley wasn't doing anything, for real. He didn't hurt his team. He was the best option. The team that he just got beat by the right team. It wasn't that he made it worse. I'm just saying, like, at this situation, injured Jay Cutler, regardless, you know, or whatever, there's a reason why Henny's a third-string quarterback. There's a reason why, you know, Todd Collins is a second-string quarterback. There's a reason for that.
He was a starter for the Redskins, wasn't he, at one point?
Well, by necessity, because, you know, people got hurt. It wasn't that he just took someone's starting job. But anyway, there's a reason why, you know, that Cutler's a starting quarterback on that team. He's 10 times – Derek Brooks said it too. He's 10 times been those guys. With a sprained MCL – now, if it was a different injury, yeah. But with a sprained MCL, he's still been those guys. And he should have played that game.
Well, the only thing that I'll say about it, to me, it truly disgusts me that everyone wanted to render their opinion on his toughness. The guy's been sacked like 62 times this season. He plays behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league, and everybody tweeting about, you know, his toughness. I would have played. Maurice Jones-Drew said I played a whole year with an injured leg. Go ahead, Ray.
I'm sorry. It's just the culture we live in right now. That's why this is different.
Yeah, technology has changed everything. It's a good side of technology. It's a bad side. Yeah, it's not about Jay. It's just instantly how quick people were able to render a response.
I just have one question. Does everyone know when his contract is coming out? Because that's the issue. People are just looking at now. He's looking at later. He's not playing for the fans. He's playing for himself. So people have to understand he's really probably thinking that his contract might be up in 2 years. And he's like, you know what? I don't want to risk this. I'm a young player. I want to get my max deal when it comes out. So that's something else, because that's what we're talking about, is for the long term, not this season. I think Chicago Bears believe that they can continue, you know, to be a playoff team.
All right, that's a lot for everybody to digest. So we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking Steelers and Jets.
Urban Sports Hang.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge, when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back from commercial break. Now let's talk about the Steelers and the Jets. Were you guys surprised with the final score, considering how the game started?
Yeah, I was surprised. I was impressed by Mark Sanchez. Honestly, I came in thinking there was no way that he can move the ball if the Steelers took away the run, and he came in there and actually had a good game. I think he can definitely take this game into next season and become that franchise quarterback the Jets thought they were getting.
I was disappointed with the game. I was rooting for the Jets. I think the defense really, really folded for the New York Jets. It was terrible tackling. It wasn't the offense, and people need to focus on the defense. It was horrible tackling. The D tackle was doing a good job pushing the offensive lineman back into the backfield, but they weren't wrapping up. That's what caused the game. I mean, it was poor tackling. The first drive, there was many mistakes. I mean, it was bad to watch as a Jets fan. Mark Sanchez, you rule. Latinos.
And but to add that, I mean, it was bad tackling. I do agree, but I think Rashad Mendenhall had a big part of that. I think that, he made a lot of moves.
That just piggybacks off of what Al said.
No, I'm saying
it's included.
I'm just saying that he made some moves in that game that, regardless of what happened, it wouldn't even matter.
No, that's. I mean, you say Mendenhall, but Moore did the same thing, and also the kid from Bowie State did the same thing. It was bad tackling. What Mendenhall did. was he backpedaled because it was a good push,
yeah.
And then he was breaking tackles.
He found more
was breaking tackles as well, and so was the rookie, yeah, from Bowie State, local kid, Bulldogs. But I mean, you got to look at it and see that for the Jets, for being the third ranked defense in the league, it was bad tackling. Yes, you give credit to a running back, but you also got to realize if the Jets, what they're known for is stopping the run, and they fell in, you got to say what's going on. And you look at the Steelers, they stopped the run, and they were the best in the league, and that's what they contain.
Well, the question was, were we surprised at the final score of the game? Thank you, though. That was a great analysis. Of course you were. Mark Sanchez led a comeback. Nobody expected that, especially Wally, so I know, yeah, he was surprised.
You're very surprised. We talked about that last week, like I said.
Well, if you look at statistically, if you look at the stats for the game, Sanchez clearly outplayed Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has a reputation of being a clutch player, of being coming up big in big games. If anyone had told you that Sanchez would have outplayed Roethlisberger in the AFC Championship game, do you think the Jets, would you have predicted the Jets would have won?
No, I mean, I'll say this. I think Big Ben did come in clutch. I mean, that completion to clinch the game, that was a clutch pass. He scrambled. He couldn't find anybody. And, you know, he found somebody. He finally found somebody coming free. So that was clutch. Big Ben, stats-wise, it might not look the best, but he came clutch in terms of a lot of big completions in that game.
That's typical Big Ben. But Will T butchered the question, so that's why Wally answered it like that. But if I would have saw the stats before,
questions, I just thinking this stuff.
If I would,
hey, you got to blame your producer right there.
Hey, if I would have saw the stats before the game, or if it would have been projected stats before the game, I would have said, yeah, the Jets went hands down. Mark Sanchez vastly outplays Big Ben like that. Of course I would have thought the Jets would have won.
I disagree, because Big Ben has not really been a playoff quarterback. I don't know what y'all been looking at.
I mean, his record is 9-2.
Yeah, but his stats. I mean, his record is different from his stats. His stats. He's never been a playoff quarterback. He wins games.
Neither is Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, but no. But what I'm saying is, you said by looking at the stats alone, I would never look at the stats and grade Ben Roethlisberger. I won't, because he shakes off tackles and he throws the ball out of bounds, because instead of a 10-yard loss, it's second down and 10. I would never look at his stats. He's a winner. And also, what I would look at is the defensive stats and see how many sacks they did, how many turners they did. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what they do very well. And people have to look. It's not about Big Ben versus Sanchez. It was really about defense versus defense. That was the stats I looked at. We looked at turnovers, sacks, and stops and third down. That's the stats you should be looking at when Jets and Steelers play.
Speaking of defense, let's talk about the Jets' performance on defense. What do you guys think?
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It was disgusting. As a Jets fan and Mark Sanchez, USC. I mean, it was just terrible just to see the poor tackling. They covered the defenders, the receivers very well, but just the poor tackling was just ridiculous.
My only advice to them is view every week as if you're playing New England. Don't come out hype one week and then, you know, lay down the next, especially in a big moment like that.
Like I said, I wasn't surprised, man. Me and Ray had this, like I said, we had the discussion last week. I thought Mendenhall would fry, actually, this against the Jets. I thought that he would, like I said, he's a skilled back, and I thought that, you know, they wouldn't be able to stop the run in that game. I thought, like Al did say, I thought it would be between two great defenses, and I think the Steelers' defense is better, and it's coached better. And they did, and the Jets' defense hasn't been the same defense they were last year. It's been a decent defense, but it's not the same defense last year. And if you look at the pattern, though they're ranked high, they've had games when they gave up a lot of yards on the ground.
The difference between the Steelers and the Jets' defense is sacks. The Steelers can create sacks. Jets just create pressure. That's the biggest difference between them. And Steelers, by far, has a better defense. I mean, Dick LeBeau is an outstanding defensive coordinator. Rex Ryan is a great defensive coordinator. There's a big difference. That's the difference. They still, both teams run a 3-4, but the scheme of the Steelers is, I'm going to sack the quarterback. The difference with the Jets is, we're going to pressure the quarterback. And that's what changed the game. I don't think, the Jets have probably had like 3 or 4, I mean, maybe 2 sacks. The Steelers pressed Sanchez early, and which changed the concept of the game. I mean, it was just a great defensive game by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, you say he changed the game. Know what that means. That's the email address. We'll get that later, though.
Yeah. Well, like you said, like you alluded to earlier, Al, the Steelers they have a history, a culture of playing tough defense and running the ball. Ever since Big Ben has been in Pittsburgh, all the guy's done is won big games for him, made clutch plays. Why is it that because of the Steelers' culture of being a physical football team and a physical running team and a good defense. Why is it that Steelers fans get so upset because Big Ben isn't mentioned with the likes of Manning, Breeze, and Brady?
Well, that issue is because of the stats. Pittsburgh Steelers are, as an organization, is a running organization.
Well, let me cut you off right there. But people dictate a great quarterback by the number of championship rings he has.
Correct.
Big Ben already has two.
But I mean, you're comparing him to Brady, who everyone loves, and Peyton Manning by far is the best quarterback in the game. So you compare him between those two. I'm not going to say he's the best quarterback, but he's a winner. I mean, I think that's better than being the best quarterback.
He's a winner and a rapist.
He was not convicted by 12 of his peers. I don't know how you call him a rapist, but I mean, to each his own.
What's Kobe then?
What's Kobe? He's a rapist.
Okay.
I paid her off.
To your point about the question you had, I think the reason why Big Ben isn't mentioned within that group is because we all know when the Steelers are a run oriented team and they play good defense, when they play that kind of football, they're a Super Bowl team. When they decide to throw the ball a lot more, they're not the same team. They don't get as far, and that's why when they win games, they're a run-oriented team. That's why when Big Ben was out, you even heard a lot of chatter saying that, okay, Charlie Batts, they run the ball more. That's why they winning more games. They should play that kind of football, and that's the reason why. You're not going to get Peyton Manning to say, Peyton Manning, hand the ball off 34 times. You're not going to get that.
Okay. It has to do a little bit of the running, but really, the reason why most fans do not consider Big Ben a top three quarterback is because he has a defense. That's the biggest difference. The Pittsburgh Steelers are always ranked in the top five in defense. They have a defense. So it's because he has a complete team. You look at Peyton Manning, it's all about the offense. You look at Brady, it's all about the offense. It's really talked about the defense. Indianapolis really talked about the defense. Pittsburgh Steelers, the first thing you talk about is the defense. That's the reason. It's the defense. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best, probably the best organization of all time, and they're a complete team. That's the real big difference.
Right, and all the points you just made is why I think he shouldn't even get the nod over Eli. But that's a whole nother discussion. So,
Are you serious?
No.
Eli?
Yeah, we base it on because a lot of people base it on championships.
Yeah, when you think about quarterbacks, you think about championships. That's why Dan Marino, even though he has the best
stats. Eli's stats are better than Roethlisberger's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't look at stats.
That's the point you guys are making.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't think the stats judge you. And that's what I'm saying, like with Terry Bradshaw, he's never considered as one of the top quarterbacks, but he was a winner. Just like Vince Young, if they give Vince Young an opportunity, he's never going to give you the best stats, but he's a winner. When you see him win games, it's his stats never look good. He's a winner. I'm not even a fan of Vince Young, but that's what he does. He wins games. And as a quarterback, what do you want your quarterback to do? Win games. That's nothing more.
Preach, Al. Vince Young, preach it. Preach it. Vince Young, winner. You heard him, Ray.
Yeah,
winner.
You agree with Fish that he was done a couple
of times. Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I contradict myself. He's a winner, though.
Well, we're going to leave y'all in suspense about our picks for the Super Bowl. We'll get to that next week. For now, we're going to have a debate over these two Super Bowl franchises. You know, which one of these franchises has the best history. On the other side of the break, we'll be back. Now you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more healthy moments.
All right, welcome back from commercial break, y'all. Ray, tell everybody how they can get in contact with you.
You can listen to the podcast at walio.podbean.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. You can email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Real quick, how you want to plug your Twitter as well?
Nigerian King, you can follow me. I have the greatest Nigerian jokes of all time. And also, King.
You can listen to Will and Fish on the Apple Jesus Radio Show every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/Apple Jesus. Apple Jesus is spelled A-P-O-G-E-E-Z-S. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach. Also, you can listen to Wally and myself on the Sports Crib podcast every Thursday. Also on blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. 9 o'clock Eastern Time every Thursday. That show is hosted by our man Jersey Mike Jr. and West Coast Still a Fan.
Let's go, Jersey Mike.
You guys are hilarious.
West Coast
All right,
still
now
a
we're
going
to get into one of our original segments, Place Your Bet. Okay. All right. Place Your Bet. Who has the more passionate fan base, Green Bay or Pitt? You start with you, Al. Oh,
more passionate. Pittsburgh Steelers by far to me. I think they're crazy. They're barbaric, man. Anytime they have a away game, just look at the crowd. It's at least 40%.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Packers. I'm gonna go with the Packers. I mean, any time you get a bunch of fans that will show their ass out on the bus when the team walk when the team is walking away, you gotta give them credit. You know what I mean? They'll moon you. They'll moon you while you're walking away. Yeah, they'll moon you while they'll moon you. You know, they'll moon all the visitors while they drive away. You know, that's dedication.
I'm gonna agree with Wally because. What else is in Green Bay besides the Packers? The Packers is a culture. It is. What else is there?
Man. Like you said, they show their behinds.
At least the Pittsburgh Steelers have the Penguins who won a championship. They got the Panthers.
They got Khalif.
What else is in Green Bay?
They got Khalif, black and yellow.
That's why the town is more passionate.
Did you say the town? You said fans, right?
The town is the fans. Fan. They own the team.
No, yeah, they own the team, but it's only in Green Bay. I mean, to be honest, the Pittsburgh Steelers are actually really America's team. Like, to be honest, if you look at it, the Steelers are America's team. It's not the Cowboys.
You got a Redskins sweatshirt, by the way.
Yes, I am definitely a Washington Redskins fan.
Hail to the Redskins.
Well, Al, I'm going to have to go with Al on this one.
It's okay.
Just because he made a valid point, Pittsburgh Steelers fans do travel very well, as when they played with the Redskins.
And
they
Packers came down fans moon you.
You don't see cheeseheads in the crowd?
But anyway, they moon you.
My debate's coming up now.
They moon you, dog. They moon you. Who does that?
Don't be salty. Your brother won.
Okay, congratulations, sir.
Like always.
That's false. Right. False.
Next. Next topic. What coach would you pick to lead your team, Lombardi or Noel? This is between Ray and Wally.
Wade. I'm Dwayne Wade. What's up? Let's go. What you say?
You don't have to game that yet.
Nah, go ahead.
No, you go first.
I'll take Lombardi. Whose name is on the NFL on the Super Bowl trophy? Bottom line. Enough said. I don't see Chuck Noll's name on there.
All right, Wally.
When you think NFL films, who do you think of? Vince Lombardi. What the hell is going on here?
I mean, I'm gonna go with Chuck Noll because he started off a system of winning and excellence, and it's continued to this day. It's just one of those traditional things that he started off. He built it, and that's why it's going on. Yeah, he built it. He basically built it. So
yeah,
I'm
gonna
go with Chuck Noll.
On the NBA logo, but he's not the best player. Hey, great point.
Yeah, I mean, great point, Wally. I'm gonna have to side with you on that one.
Dark skinned brothers stick together.
All right, next topic, and for a random modern day spin, Holmgren or Cowher? Me and Al. You go ahead, Al. Pick first.
Cowher. I mean, I just love his intensity. He was a great coach. He only had one Super Bowl, so does Holmgren, so I guess it's tied with that. But I just think each year they were ready. Each year he had a below. He made his team exceed more than what his talent said he should have. So I would go with Cowher.
All right, I'm going to have to go with Holmgren by default. I'm going to go with Holmgren, and I'm going to say this. A good coach will have assistants that can go and attain other jobs in the NFL, and they might do all right. But a great coach like Holmgren, he has a whole coaching tree. He's implemented a system. Well, he took it from Bill Walsh, but he's kind of put his spin on it. And Holmgren, that's why I'm going with Holmgren.
Yeah, Holmgren is the obvious choice.
Yeah, I'll go Holmgren.
All right, next topic. What QB are you taking in their prime? Favre or Bradshaw?
Anybody can debate this one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll go with Terry Bradshaw. I can't stand Brett Favre. I think he's one of the most overrated quarterbacks of all time. People, if I don't know why everyone's in love with Brett Favre. It's really amazing to me. The kid leads
the NFL history
in interceptions. I mean, interceptions given for touchdowns. I mean, turnovers. I mean, he's so overrated. But Bradshaw, all he did was win 4 rings, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Only
4.
I don't want to defend Favre, but I got to. Have you ever seen Bradshaw play live?
No.
But you've seen Favre numerous times.
I was not born at that time.
We have seen Favre numerous times play live, right?
Right.
We haven't seen Bradshaw. Bradshaw was not that skilled. You said that earlier. Brett Favre is skilled. He made some bad choices, but he was skilled. So I'm going to go Favre over Bradshaw on this one.
I also like to say that for the love Favre is getting, he only won 1 Super Bowl.
Yeah, how many Super MVPs too?
Only one.
Back to Will
Zero.
Earlier.
Thank you.
He only won 0.
Based on
Desmond Howard.
Championship.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Desmond Howard.
Based on
I'm trying to understand this. Yeah. Like, why is the love so infatuated with Brent Favre when he only won 1?
True.
So when Aaron Rodgers won it.
Yep. Same thing. Drew Brees getting the same love.
Like, I'm just trying to understand it because he only won 1. He went to the Super Bowl twice.
I think it's just. I think it's more because Brett Favre endears himself personally to people.
Because he smacks people in the buttocks?
Hey man,
is that what that is?
Him and Terry Bradshaw both have a way with women. Terry Bradshaw done been married 5 times.
But he's a ladies man. He's a ladies man.
Brett's a ladies man too.
No,
he's a lady texter.
He's sexy.
He's a stalker.
Yeah, pretty much.
Something about Mary.
Speaking of somebody who has their way with ladies, strippers in particular, let's move on to a couple of rumors in the sports world.
What's going on? Hey, finish that up. We can finish it up. Go ahead.
What?
Go ahead. What's your
rumors in the sports world.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Big Al.
Oh, Big Al. Okay. Yeah. Rumor is, you know, the defensive coordinator, the defensive line coach is now from Tennessee, is now the defensive coordinator in Philly. And rumor is that he might be interested in getting Haynesworth.
For the trade?
Yeah. It's a rumor.
Are you sure about that?
It's a rumor.
My question. Was any truth to that?
I'm not saying it's true. It's a rumor. That's why it's a rumor.
Still, Detroit might be interested in getting
him. I heard about that, too.
But I think that's for a fourth-round pick.
But hold on.
And I think if they get him, that's going to be nasty.
But I have a question for you as an Eagles fan. Would you want a Haynesworth on your team?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's a destructive force. You put him next to Trent Cole or Brandon Graham, he wreaks havoc all day.
So you don't think he would be a problem in the locker room?
Not in our locker room. Not with our coaching staff. Not with our culture.
Okay.
Larry Brown said last week that he's bored of not coaching. Are there whispers that he could be Roy Williams' successor in North Carolina? Any truth to that, or what are your thoughts?
I didn't hear of his successor in North Carolina, but I did hear that he does want to go back to coaching again. He's another Brent Favre. You know, he wants to retire. He comes back. Wants to retire. Come back. Hey, just give it up. Just go home.
Well,
I can't stand you either.
He could be a replacement for Roy Williams. Who else would be a good replacement?
But Roy's not going to retire. He's not going to get fired. He won 2 national championships already with North Carolina. So he's set in stone. No one's going to fire him.
He's burning bridges with the fan base right now, though.
Not really. Give him time. They're still going to make the tournament. I mean, they're not going to be
this year.
Yes, they're going to make the tournament.
Interesting. And I'm a Tar Heel fan.
I'm about to explain a North Carolina team. Though. If they lose 11 games, they're still going to make the tournament. They're not going to be – they'll probably be a 9 seed or a 10 seed. No matter what, the NCAA needs North Carolina to be good.
Well, when that happened in 99, they did make the tournament. They went to the Final Four that year when they had that bad season. They lost 14 games that year, as a matter of fact. However, they were bad last year. It's like second year in a row. I don't know if they can get the same luck. They were third seed in the NIT. You gonna grant them an NCAA?
But they did go to national champ. They did go to championship in NIT, but lost.
Ha!
Let's go Blue Devils.
I knew it.
All right, we see what side you on, Al. All right, well, let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more college basketball.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with 2 hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why.
You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
I wish y'all could hear some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes during the commercial breaks. But welcome back, everybody. Let's get into Maryland football.
Welcome back, everybody. That sounds so familiar. Go ahead, though. Maryland football, football.
Basketball. I'm sorry.
We talking basketball.
But if you do, real quick, we'll talk about football. Kenny Tate decided to come back, which is quite shocking, to the Terps next year. He was actually not sounded to be either a second or third round draft pick. I guess he wants to boost his stock up next year. He's a local kid from DeMatha High School. What's his position? Oh, he's a safety. I'm sorry. He's a safety. He's a good kid. They're actually going to have a receiver. It's going to probably be high next year as well. Maryland, even though they're a bad football team, is stats-wise and organization-wise, but they still have NFL players on that team.
Yeah. I mean, Ralph Regan, he routinely produced NFL talent when he was there.
We talking basketball, folks. Basketball. Let's get to basketball.
All right, let's get to basketball.
All right, go ahead.
Then.
Let's go talk. All right, go. The question about the Terps.
Right, Maryland
about the Terps?
barely beat Clemson on Sunday and got spanked by VTech just before that. What do you guys think about this Maryland Terps basketball team this year?
Honestly, I don't think they should be able to go to the tournament. I think they haven't beaten anybody. I don't think they have an opportunity to be a ranked team this whole season because the ACC won't have a ranked team anyway.
Yeah, we think Maryland's bad. We don't like them.
ACC won't have a ranked team.
Other than Duke, obviously. Okay. Yeah,
Jordan
other than
Williams
Duke
makes you watch, man.
Yeah, Jordan Williams is a beast, though. I won't even lie.
The ACC is down this year. It's really hard to watch. Duke is also struggling, but since the ACC is so weak, it's not showing its downfalls. Regarding Maryland, the NCAA has to, by fault, really give the ACC some teams to go in the tournament. So I looked, and they're going to give at least three teams. It's definitely going to be Duke. It's also going to be North Carolina. It's not going to be Georgia Tech, unfortunately. But the bubble team is going to be VTech, like always, and Maryland because of Gary Williams. You got to also realize the people, they sit down in a committee and put teams in, not just based on the current year, but the previous year and also with the coaches. Gary Williams is a great coach. You know, unfortunately, he's not a good recruiter, but he's a great coach. So you give him one game to coach, he has a good chance of winning.
You said the previous year too, right?
Yes, I did.
That's why North Carolina may not get it because they sucked last year, and I just told you that. But anyway, Duke, please tell your man Jersey Mike that Duke's not playing well right now because that dude's just a Duke fanatic.
No, I mean, they're not. The injury of Kyle Irving really hurt us. It's now Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith is not a point guard. He's a two guard. If you watch his shot selection, it's quite ridiculous now these past three or four games. Last game, he went 6-for-22. He had 19 points. 19 points looked good, but his shooting performance was pretty bad. We don't have a point guard. I mean, so that's just the issue right here. And there's no low post presence. And when they play against a team such as Ohio State, Purdue, any team from the Big East, there's going to be trouble because they don't have low post presence. The Pumleys, yeah, they block shots, but when you give them the ball down low, you can back away from them because they're not going to make a bucket. And I am a Duke fan. I still think we have a chance because Coach K is a great coach, but we also need low post presence.
Finally, a Duke realist. And Austin Rivers should have went to Davidson, dog.
Austin Rivers?
Yeah, he got a Stephen Curry type of game. He should have went to Davidson. I'm just joking.
I had a question.
Relax. Watch out for Notre Dame.
I had a question about Duke anyway. Why I don't play Stephen Curry's little brother that much?
Actually, they do, but you also got to realize Dawkins is better than Stephen Curry's junior. Dawkins is extremely nice.
He can shoot, though. I know Dawkins can shoot.
He can put the ball on the ground as well. But the problem is, You have Dawkins, you have Curry, you have Ewing. I mean, I'm sorry, you have Nolan Smith. All three of them.
And Irving, too.
Irving's injured.
So but when, I mean, when he comes, I mean, so when he comes back, though, yeah, he should transfer to Davidson. You know? Steph Curry should transfer to Davidson.
Speaking of Duke, Coach K has recently he been criticized for the fact that none of his players that made it to the NBA are Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. Nobody current, McGetty, Hill, Brand, nobody looks to be a Hall of Famer at this point. Jay Williams, he doesn't play anymore. I'm sorry. So is that a fair criticism, being that he's a college coach?
Well, if I look at it, if none of his players went to the Hall of Fame, that means that he must be an outstanding coach. He's making the talent, he's making his team better than what they are. Because if you look at it, coaching is based on the talent that you have. So at Duke, there were outstanding players. In the NBA, they weren't. So that's saying that he takes below-average talent and makes them successful in college. His job is not to make them successful in the NBA. That is the individual player. That's what they're getting paid for as individuals. Teams don't get paid as a lump sum together. They get paid as individuals. So it's their time and their job to go in the gym extra, work out more, and produce.
Now, I just think it's not unfair to put Grant Hill in that argument. That was based on injury, and Grant Hill was basically a Hall of Fame player, period, if not being hurt. And Eldon Brandt, to me, is a really good ball player, so I can't even put Eldon Brandt on this. Everybody else, though, I can agree with. But in terms of Eldon Brandt and Grant Hill, I don't agree with that. I think he did a great job they were great talents, and he did a great job coaching them, and they done a real good job in the league. They've been to all-star games. Grant Hill, at a time, was known to be probably the best, one of the best top players in the NBA. So I can't get Grant Hill on that list.
No, he's a great coach, bottom line. You got some want to follow up with something now?
It's unfortunate that people blame Coach K for saying that Duke players didn't produce in the NBA. But Coach K doesn't coach in the NBA, to my knowledge. He coaches for Duke University, was NCAA Division I. So I don't know what his he's not Calipari. Calipari he knows he's one and done. He's not teaching the kid, you know, to go to school and such. So he says, all right, I'm going to the house and letting them know that I'm going to make you ready for the NBA.
All right, speaking of the NBA, we're going to talk about our local NBA team, the Washington Wizards. The Wizards defeated the Celtics on Saturday. They should have wins versus the Heat and versus the Celtics. Do you think they can get an 8 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
I think it's a possibility. I think it can happen. What'd you say?
Yeah, you sound like Idris Elba. Yeah.
In the Eastern Conference playoffs.
It take us. Takers.
We're takers, gents.
That's how you talk.
Yeah,
I know.
I think they have a shot. It's the Eastern Conference. I mean, it doesn't really matter. So they have an opportunity. I mean, they have John Wall, Nick Young to hold that backcourt down. So, and Nick Young's playing at a high level right now. And you got John Wall who's finally playing. Who's a great point guard? I mean, he's a great young point guard. He outplayed.
I wouldn't say great.
That's a great young
he's
point
a good,
guard.
He's
me.
A good. No, he's a good young point guard.
He's a great
who has
young,
the ability to be.
He's
great.
A great young point guard.
Nah, I wouldn't say.
I'm sorry. I'm using for John Wall. He's a great
you
young point guard.
If you can't win a role, you can't make the playoffs. I'm sorry.
That's Flip's honest for. I said the potential.
That's not the argument. Can he?
Yeah, I say the potential. That's what I said. The potential.
Currently, who's AC now?
Much of bad teams under 500. That's all you need to know.
No, you didn't answer the question.
Hey.
The Bucks are currently.
No, I don't think. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. I think the Bucks are the.
I thought the
without Brandon
in the 76. I thought the 76ers.
The 76ers are ahead of Bucks now.
They're the seventh.
They're
then.
Winning.
The Bobcats. So they're under five. Then they also both teams are under 500. The seven and AC are under.
Yeah.
Wow. See, yeah, they have a chance. I mean, they've competed with the Heat, and they've beat the Celtics, even though it's at home. I mean, they can finish above 500 at home. I mean, they have to win at least about
but
a couple.
But you got
to
win, but then again, it's the NBA.
I mean, it's a chance
that
you losing all your road games. What's the chances of that? To consistently lose all your when you got the Nets, the Bobcats.
Bobcats are getting better.
The Raptors,
you beat the Cavaliers.
The Raptors, the Cavaliers.
They got spanked by the Raptors in Toronto.
That's how bad. I know that was just annoying.
The Wizards are the second worst team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they got a chance.
What the
they
hell
may
is
be able to beat the Cavaliers.
It's got a chance.
They can be somebody good on the road. It's a mental thing right now.
Every team has a chance.
In the Eastern Conference, you always have a chance.
But I'm just saying, they're the second worst team in the Eastern Conference.
Who's the first?
Are you serious?
I just asked the question.
Jersey Mike said Oak Hill can beat the Wizards.
At Oak Hill, they probably can.
<No. could. laughs>
At Oak Hill, they probably can.
Oak Hill just lost.
Just Trey Andre Blosh. Start.
Finley
Trevor
Prep can
start Trevor Booker, and I'm guaranteeing they winning games
right,
on the road.
All right,
on the road? No, what do you think? What do you think the Wizards have to do to win games on the road?
Fire Flip Saunders. I've said it before. Fire him. Obviously, he's not.
I don't think
obviously
the problem. I
obviously,
think
obviously, if you're on with someone on the road, you're not coaching that team and getting them focused on the road. You're doing something now. You're rewarding individuals who party all the time and have their bodies flabby like Larry Holmes, you know, to play on your team. You know it. And if you're going to reward players like that, then something's wrong with you. You got to be a coach. There's better – I mean, there are players out there that can play a role.
I have a question. Is he trying to develop his young talent by playing Trevor Booker so daggone much? And
he should play him more. He should play Trevor Booker
more. Trevor Booker is good, but he's like Big Baby to me. He's undersized, and he hurts the team, actually.
When he comes in, he plays well. No, people who hurt the team, like I do agree, is Cartier Martin. And that's Seraphin. It's terrible.
Yeah, last year he had Earl Boykins in the game too much. He's not a winning coach. He's not a championship coach. I agree with Wally. They need to get rid of him. But they can win with him as a coach on the road. They'll get one road win with him as a coach. And it won't be against the Cavaliers. It'll be against somebody good.
Any given night in the NBA, just because of logistics and traveling and everything.
They had an opportunity to beat the. You watched the Knicks game last night. They had an opportunity to beat the Knicks. But, you know, you can tell a team that's coached bad. I mean, badly how they play. They gave up. They had bad decision making during the stretch. Flipped and benched. I mean, the individuals who made bad decisions, who we mentioned earlier, and Andre Blotch. So I mean, you know, like I said, it goes to coaching. I mean, I know when Al's coaching the boys and girls team, you playing bad, he yanking you out. It's real.
Well, Flip Saunders is a bad coach, but they also need more leadership in the locker room. They need more veteran players. They got Kurt Heinrich as the leader, but they need some more leadership in the background with the young team with Nick Young, John Wall, the center name
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, I don't like that kid. Blatch. I mean, you got so many young players that you don't have a veteran leadership that can teach you how to win on the road. What they do on the road is after the game they go out and party. They don't realize and they don't care about winning. So that's just issues you got to see. And
Sam Cassell is an assistant coach, man. He can teach you toughness how to win on the road.
Sam Cassell is an assistant coach. He's not the head coach. And also, I mean, when you look at assistant coaches, no, he's actually not. When you look at leadership, if most players look at their head coach, they don't look at their assistant coach, but they will look at their peer though. So you have a leadership as a peer. You have a 13 year veteran on the team. He's gonna look and say, "What's going on? You know, like you need to toughen up." And that's what Kevin Durant at Oklahoma City. He said he really loved Ali. What's his name? Kevin Ollie.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie.
He really loved him. Kevin Ollie never played a lick of the game, but he said there was that leadership in the locker room that really changed the difference. And now you see the defense has changed because Kevin Ollie's no longer there. There is a big difference with leadership in the locker room. And sorry to say, the Wizards are going to be sorry this year. You got to deal with it.
Rick Brunson played many years because he was a leader. Did you ever see Rick Brunson get in the game? He was always on the NBA bench, though.
He was always on the NBA
bench. Tyronn Lue must be a hell of a leader then, because he's always on the NBA bench somehow.
He's a coach somewhere
now. He's a coach now.
Yeah, so
he's behind the bench, though. What is he?
Yeah.
Just like Tyronn Lue. Tyronn Lue sits behind the bench.
Is he
like
that fraudulent Duke program where every ex-player is an assistant coach? How does he get them on the payroll? Nate James, Carol Will,
Steve Wojciechowski.
It's called a career path.
Chris Collins.
It's called a career path.
That's called a recession, and that's cheating. They have no skills. They shouldn't be working.
Hater.
I'm not hating. Anyway, the Wizards beating the Celtics is one example of the parity in the NBA this year. Right now, in my opinion, there's no definitive best team in the NBA. Is that true for you guys as well?
No. I mean, San Antonio Spurs are the best team in the league, but the problem is no one likes watching them play. Watch the Spurs play and then tell me they're not the best team. The problem is, you guys look at the highlights. San Antonio Spurs are not going to be at the highlights.
When you say you guys, who are you referring to?
I'm African American males.
I'll
be point blank. That's what you guys look at. You look at Blake.
Could you please stop referring to us as you guys, because you're one of us.
You guys. I'm just sorry. Okay, sports fans, i.e.
Thank you.
The African American males. but that's the issue. Is that no one likes to see San Antonio Spurs play. I'm going to be honest. I'm not one of them. I don't like watching them play. But when I watch the game, they're well coached. They got great defense. I mean, Manu's healthy. Parker's healthy. Duncan is slowing down. But they got Neil off the bench. Like, if you look at it.
Richard Jefferson, too.
Richard Jefferson. I mean, they're balling. They're actually the best team.
DeJuan Blair.
Yes, but no one wants to talk about. No one ever wants to talk about them because when you watch them play, it's not that entertaining. No one's dunking over your head. No one's yanking you. It's just the Manu Show. Slow but effective. Ginobili!
You watch international basketball too, right?
Man, I watch sports, man.
That's what I'm saying. You into all types of things. World Cup. You can watch a 4-hour soccer game. So you can watch the Spurs, though.
So. Yeah, I
That's
could.
What I'm saying. You a different type of sports fan. You a different breed, man.
I appreciate it.
Hey, let's go hard in paint, though.
Hard?
That didn't sound too good.
That wasn't right.
All
right,
cue the music, dog, please.
All right, I will, sir. Wally.
Last week, man, I had DJ Augustine. He scored a career-high 31 against the Sixers on Friday and 8 assists, dog. He scored 20 versus ATO in the loss on Saturday, averaged 22 a game in his last three. He's been killing since Paul Silas, the head coach. This week, I'm going DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. It was between him and Jared Bader's actually. Jared Bader's actually stepping in the game. He dropped 15 last game. But DeMar DeRozan, he's averaged 23 a game in his last three, including 30 versus Miami in the loss last week. Tomorrow they play Philly at home. Friday they versus Milwaukee. Saturday at Minnesota. And Monday before our next show, the Toronto Raptors will be at Indiana. I expect DeMar DeRozan to average 20, over 24.
Well, I'm so unprepared for this segment, but and it's like one of my favorite segments. So you show you how busy I was today. But anyway, our last week I chose Vince Carter.
What did you do today? What did you do today? Weren't you off today?
I had a dentist appointment.
The whole day?
You know, then I had to coach.
Oh, okay.
He was trying to figure out how to fill that gap in.
Yeah, exactly.
He was trying to figure out how to keep busy.
I should smack the... Never mind. But anyway. Never mind. Anyway, yeah, like I said, I chose Vince Carter. Not sure what he did last week. I don't think he did for so much last week, honestly. But, because I know he had like a 2-point, 3-point game or something.
Last night, though.
Well,
you
saw,
did you ever see it?
No, I didn't get to, man. That's all I guess he did do. Because I know he had like a 3-point game or something like that. But anyway, this week I'm going to choose, I'm going to go Georgetown, man. I'm going with Greg Monroe. He's starting now, so I'm happy if he's finally starting. So, yeah, he's starting now. So now I'm going to go with Greg Monroe to go hard in the paint.
Who do they pinch?
G-Town. They're going to a whole youth movement.
Who do they pinch?
I think.
I don't know, actually.
Tayshaun?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm not gonna say Tayshaun. No, he's playing the big. He's playing
guy,
like
short guy Cincinnati. What is his
name? Max Hill.
Max Hill was starting?
Yeah, he was starting for a while too. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so
you can listen to the show at walio.podbean.com. Again, Walio is spelled WALEO. We are on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. You can email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to Will and Fish on the Apple Jesus Radio Show every Sunday at 9 o'clock.
And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/ApoGees. That's spelled APOGEEZS. And I'll be on that show this Sunday, 9 p.m.
Oh, he
represent.
When he said that.
King Al's returning too, baby.
And King Al will be there too, so you can get the Kenzo boys on there.
You can listen to Wally and Ray.
I'm not a boy, I'm a grown man. FYI.
You can listen to Wally and Ray, who is myself, on the sports crew every Thursday night. 9 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. This Thursday, I don't know if I'm going to be on there or not.
I'll be there representing double duty.
Wally,
like a Jamaican.
You got a game this week, though. Who's going hard in the paint for you?
I'll be there. Who's going hard in the paint for us? Al on Thursday. Who think was going to go hard in the paint?
My kid, Gus, will be going hard in the paint.
Gus, terrific.
He's averaging 1 point per game, so he's obviously going to boost up his stats. I'm going with him at least scoring double digits. This game, he said he's ready. So, we'll see.
I want to thank everybody. This is another good show. Next week, I'm probably not going to be here again next week. So, Fish, we welcome you back to take over the reins as the host. And we out. 50, 60 stacks of moon, and I'm in your town. Just don't shake a booty.